días. Bienvenidos a la rueda de prensa de la película de sección oficial Alpha, The Right to Kill. Y para hablar sobre esta película tenemos el placer de contar hoy con Carlos Valenzona, productor, Troy Espíritu, que es su guionista, el director, Brillante Mendoza, y su protagonista, Alain Disson. Bueno, quizá un poquito como siempre, para empezar, estaría bien quizá que Brillante Mendoza nos contara un poquito cómo surge esta película, ¿no? Que es un poco lo que quería mostrar ahí.
He's asking you to tell him about the picture itself. What's the picture about?
Well, actually, the film was a film version of the series I did for TV5, which was acquired by Netflix. It's called Amo. So we did Carlo. Was it like 10 series? 10 episodes. So a culmination of this episode is the film version, which is The Right to Kill. Because I also have the same lead character. One of them was Alan, and that guy over there is also one of the lead character in Amo. This was shown on Netflix worldwide.
Bien, gracias. No sé si hay preguntas ya por aquí. Sí, aquí tenemos una en primera, en la segunda fila.
Good morning. I would like to know about the environment, the policemen. I suppose it was real policemen. And they approve previously the script. How works that?
They didn't see the script. But I spoke with the chief of the Philippine National Police about this project, and I think it was clear with them the intent of the film, and they were real policemen. Most of the policemen in the film are real policemen, just to make sure that. All their actions, all the dialogue are authentic and real. That's why we got the services of real policemen. We've been very supportive with the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sí, hay más preguntas. Ahí tenemos otra y ahí detrás después. Primero ahí.
Hello, I find it. First of all, congratulations for the movie. I find it very sincere, very descriptive. Almost a documentary, right? But with the impact of the beauty of fiction on top of this. I find it hard to believe, though, that the authorities did not try to... it is too sincere. Did you have any problems with that? With the society, with the police force, with the government? I mean, with authorities in general?
Well, it has always been, with my films, it has always been the case. I've started making films utilizing the found story method of filmmaking. And in a found story, we always start with a real character or a real person with a unique experience. To more or less to show what's really happening in our society. I've always been interested with authenticity. I've always been interested with real stories of ordinary people affected by the society.
Teníamos otra ahí detrás.
Hi, good morning. Congrats for the film. I wanted to ask you, what's been the opinions in the Philippines? Because we see corruption, we see a killing squad, so everybody has the impression that this is a harsh critic against Duterte's fight against drugs.
I think it's known all over the world what's happening in our country. And everybody have their own opinion. But unfortunately, not everyone have been to the Philippines. you always need hear and you know, hear and see the news. Sometimes they're a bit exaggerated. Sometimes they're a bit you know, overboard. And yes, I must admit there is a situation in the Philippines. There are problems in the Philippines, and there may be killings, which I haven't really witnessed myself. But these are the this is the situation in our country, which I also try to portray, which I also try to show in my films, without being political, without siding any personality. And I think as a filmmaker, we should always be truthful with our storytelling, with our film, more than with a person, more than with anyone else. So that's I'm always been an advocate of truth and honesty in my film.
Hay más preguntas por aquí en la. Si no, bueno, un poco ampliando lo que you could put your headphones. If you channel channel sure. 3, you can. You have the translation.
Okay.
Yes, channel 3. Okay, so you can now. If you are going to use English, okay. Sí, gracias. Un poco ampliando la pregunta que hacían, ya que tenemos también aquí a Troy, que es el guionista de la película, quizá también que él nos... porque creo que además fue el guionista también de Amo, ¿no? La serie televisiva, que también él nos cuente un poquito cómo trabajó el guión, ¿no? Y nos, si nos puede ampliar este tema.
Kasi yung script is nag-undergo siya sa ng intensive research and immersion. So basically, nag-interview muna kami ng mga people involved with the underground world, mga people involved with illegal drugs, police who are involved with these kinds of, you know, situations. And of course, eventually, yung immersion napaka-importante nun because you have to absorb these people, you have to look within them or inside them so that pag sinulat ko na siya, it's as if ako yung character na sinusulat ko. So
yes. He means that when he wrote the story, he felt that he was the character involved.
Sorry, we have translation in the...
Oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
Thank you. We're going to use English. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We speak Tagalog. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
You can... Okay. Sorry.
Well, tenemos también a Allen aquí. Quizá nos podría también él contar un poquito cómo ha sido esta experiencia. También después de Amo, ¿no? También estaba en la serie televisiva. Y un poco cómo trabaja este personaje y cómo se mete, ¿no?, en la piel de este policía.
Of course, I have to research for my role, especially the first one with Direk Brillante, the Amo. I am also the policeman, but it's the same role with Alpha because it's a corrupt policeman. So in real life, I'm not the police, so I'm just portraying the role, and I am against also the. What doing the character. So it's also for me it's a challenge, very challenging role. Uh-huh. for doing this this movie Alpha.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Gracias. Más preguntas. Tenemos alguna más. Sí, aquí segunda fila.
Buenos días. Bueno, lo primero, enhorabuena por la película. Sobre todo, nos llamó la impresión la primera media hora, quizá, el ritmo tan apabullante que tenía, casi una ausencia de diálogos, que a lo mejor en este cine estamos más acostumbrados a que vayan los actores repitiendo lo que estamos viendo, y nos pareció un hallazgo. Y reconozco mi desconocimiento del cine filipino, si podía darnos unas claves que lo retrataran y cuánto ha influido en su estilo la actual situación política hacia una lucha pues casi brutal hacia el narcotráfico. ¿Cómo ha podido influir eso en la película?
Well, if you're familiar with my aesthetics in filmmaking, it has always been utilizing the found story method. And found, we base everything on real life situation, real life character, and then we apply the principle of found story. That's why in found, it has to be socialized, meaning that the story doesn't just stay with the character. The story has to revolve around the society or around the environment, and that's one of the major characteristics of found. So that's what we apply. That's what I applied in doing this film. It's like a docudrama. There is like a thin line of it being real and it being rock documentary, because even the way we filmed it. Even the way the actors were delivering their lines or acting, it was all based in found. Even the cinematography and the way it was edited, it was all based on the principle of found story. So that's part of the whole aesthetics. In my previous films, Marosa, this principle was also applied. And so with the rest of my films, like Kinatay, which was also shown here in Spain.
Quizá un poco para extender un poco este tema sobre el documental, es decir, la relación que tiene su cine con ficción documental. ¿Cómo acostumbra a trabajar? Tiene actores profesionales, pero imagino que otras personas que aparecen en sus películas no lo son. ¿Cómo filma en esos exteriores de Manila, esas calles, ¿no? Que vemos que siempre tienen esa sensación de autenticidad? Es decir, ¿cómo es la técnica un poco de rodaje?
Well, it has always been very challenging to incorporate non-professional actors with a professional actor. But at the same time, the benefit and the plus factor of utilizing non-professional actors is that they're very authentic. They're very real in what they do. They know exactly, like for instance, the policeman which I use, they know exactly what to do. The people from the street actually, well, you need to develop a certain kind of technique to be able to utilize these people on the street, but at the same time incorporating some extras. So normally we get the services of extras. We get about 50 extras, and then we incorporate them with real people walking on the street. But you know, we have, in the Philippines, there's this culture of when they see people filming, they love to be seen in the camera. And when you tell them that, okay, please don't look at the camera, do not smile, they would easily oblige. And like for instance, in Europe, you cannot do this. Yeah. I mean, people would, you know, they would insist on their privacy. And but I think that's one thing nice about filming in the Philippines. Everybody are, you know, as you can see in the film, nobody's, you know, looking. They're very cooperative. So, but of course, you need to develop a certain kind of technique. And this technique didn't happen overnight. You know, with so many films that I did in the past, I did, this is I think my 13th or 14th film, and I've always applied this principle, this technique of incorporating professional with non-professional.
Sí, tenemos una pregunta ahí.
¿Qué tal, señor Villante Mendoza? Soy Gonzalo Hurtado de Perú. Mi pregunta es la siguiente. Yo creo que en el cine filipino, por ejemplo, Lab Díaz ha hecho de alguna manera una crítica simbólica a la situación en Filipinas a partir de hechos pasados, pero usted ha sido más contundente, ha hecho un alegato, una denuncia pues tremenda en esta película. Yo quiero saber si en algún momento no le preocupó el hecho de qué va a pasar con Rodrigo Duterte, de cómo va a tomar esa película, o tal vez no le interese en absoluto, ¿no? ¿No teme que de alguna manera haya amenazas contra usted debido a la situación actual en Filipinas?
Well, it's not really like I'm concerned about my, I'm not concerned about my life, but this is the first film I did with this kind of political. I did a film, for instance, with Isabel Huppert about the Abu Sayyaf, about the extremists, you know, who lives in the southern part of the Philippines. I also did Kinatay, where I won the best director in Cannes, about a corrupt policeman. I've got, I never got any threats. And it's not that I am not afraid, it's just that for as long as I am true to my work, and for as long as I don't really, even if the film you see it kind of political, but you know, situations like this, they happen. So, and I am not into a particular person or personality. I am against not the person, but the institution. That's why in the film, the character of Alan is not really representative of the institution. Alan is, situation is a personal story. It's only him, you know. It's him being a corrupt policeman. Now, the interpretation of the audience about the institution being corrupt is already your interpretation. Yeah. So it's not like I am saying in your face that the institution is corrupt. So we didn't say that. I didn't say that in the film. You know, I just show the personal situation of Alan.
Pero respecto a la reacción ante la película, quizá la reacción que hubo ante Amo, la serie televisiva que trabaja el mismo, los mismos temas, ¿no? Y los mismos ambientes, ¿cómo fue la reacción en Filipinas, ¿no? Por parte del público, cómo funcionó la serie?
Well, before Amo was shown, I've got a lot of criticisms because in the past, I've been doing the State of the Nation address of the president. So people always associated me with the president of the Philippines, and especially the art community of the Philippines. So I've always been criticized because of that situation. But the State of the Nation address has nothing to do with my work. They just got my services because I'm a filmmaker, and they got also the services of other filmmaker for the State of the Nation address, like in the previous administration, not only in this administration. So I took it like it's a work. So when the Amo was before it was released, I was criticized a lot because they told me that people will tell me that it's a propaganda for the government, even before it was shown. So, of course, that's their opinion. But when Amo was shown, everybody stopped. They just stopped, you know, criticizing me because it's not definitely a propaganda. It's a story of the situation of the Philippines. And it's a truthful story and depiction of the situation of the Philippines without siding any political party or any personality for that matter. So, in a way, generally it was good. Generally, the reception of the series was very good. I would get email from different parts of the world, you know, praising the film and seeing it as a film or seeing it as a TV series, and not a political propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Tenemos allí una pregunta.
Sí, tengo una pregunta al director. ¿Dónde le gustaría a usted que trascendiera más la película? ¿En el propio país, en Filipinas, o a nivel internacional, fuera de las fronteras de Filipinas? Gracias.
Well, I make a film for everyone. I think whenever a filmmaker or a storyteller makes a film, you just don't want to be specific and particular about a certain kind of audience. You want your film as much as possible to be shown, you know, to audience all over the world. But regardless, of course, this is about the Philippines. This is about the Filipinos. Of course, as a Filipino and as a Filipino filmmaker, I would love my film to have a better and good reception in the Philippines, because this is about the Filipino people and the situation in our country.
Mm-hmm. Tendríamos tiempo para una otra pregunta, si tenemos allí, sí.
Sí, yo quería preguntar al director. Aunque esto es una película, una ficción con, bueno, trazas de hechos reales, ¿cuál es su opinión personal acerca del modo en que el presidente Duterte está llevando la lucha contra el narcotráfico y las drogas?
Well, my personal opinion about the situation in our country is, I think, should remain a personal opinion, because I would rather have my opinion as a filmmaker and personal opinion separate. I don't want my film, you know, I don't want my own philosophy and opinion to be all present in my film, because then it becomes a propaganda. So in the film, it's just a depiction, like what I've always said, a depiction of the situation in the country. My personal opinion remains with me, remains with myself. And I don't want that to be an influence in my film. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sí, ¿querías hacer? Ah, vale. Bueno, quizá ya para cerrar la rueda de prensa, ya que tenemos también, me gustaría... Tenemos a Carlos Valenzona, el productor, quizá que ya para terminar nos explique un poquito cómo pudo poner en marcha el proyecto, si el éxito de la serie ayudó, o bueno, un poquito que explique cómo se levantó la película.
Hello. Magandang araw po sa inyo lahat. Bilang producer po ng pelikulang ito, ang trabaho ko ay makapaghanap ng totoong mga locations, katulad ng totoong police stations, totoong kalsada, mga totoong bahay ng isang pamilyang Pilipino. Dahil ang kwento po na ito ay kwento ng mga Pilipino. At yun po yung gusto naming ibahagi sa inyo, sa mga manonood. So, bilang producer, isa sa mga responsibilidad ko ay ang magkwento ng makatotohanan, dahil yun po ang style ng director namin, yung realism cinema.
Mi meta como productor era buscar sitios para enseñar la realidad de la ciudad. Y con eso es el mismo idea del director. Con eso coincide con el director, con ese de buscar sitios que enseñan la realidad de la ciudad.
Sí, bien, muchas gracias. Bueno, pues creo que si no hay más preguntas, solo nos queda agradecer a Brillante y a su equipo que hayan venido con su película. Les deseamos muchísima suerte hoy en la premiere de la película y, por supuesto, en su futura carrera. Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here, finally.
Thank you. Thank you.